The secret shipment of American arms to Iran is certainly no secret anymore, but the questions about who was involved, what was traded, and at what price continue to multiply. Last week, a presidential news conference meant to quell the clamor only loudened it.
18 months ago, as I said last Thursday, this administration began a secret initiative to the Islamic Republic of Iran.
The president did not give out much more information than he had the week before. He held to his position that Congress and the American people did not need to know.
We knew this undertaking involved great risks, especially for our people and for the Iranian officials with whom we dealt. That's why the information was restricted to appropriate cabinet officers and those officials with an absolute need to know.
The president said his credibility has not been damaged.
But I think the people understand that sometimes you have to keep a secret in order to save human lives and to succeed in the mission.
Many members of Congress disagreed with the president.
But the Ayatollah Khomeini knew about what was going on, and international arms black marketeers knew about what was going on, but Congress and the American public were kept in the dark. This is the kind of thing that we can't tolerate.
We ought to admit there was a mistake made there and move on to something else.
Former National Security Advisor Robert McFarlane, who went to Iran to arrange the arms deals, said he now believes giving arms to the Iranians was a mistake because of the turmoil it created.
Mr. Casey, have you broken the law?
No.
CIA Director William Casey was called before Congress to explain the secret action.
Whether they broke the law or not, they intended not to inform the American people. They intended not to inform the Congress of the United States about something that they knew would become public knowledge.
I can't believe what I heard, and I don't.
On Wall Street, a nervous stock market plunged more than 40 points on Tuesday after the news that Ivan Boesky, who paid heavy fines for using illegal inside information in successful attempts to profit from corporate mergers, might implicate other investors and some big brokerage houses as well.
Boesky couldn't have had the success factor he did without some help from other people.
I think they should get every one of them, put them in jail for good.
Super greed, no doubt about it.
Anthony Tony Ducks Carollo, Carmine Jr. Persico, and Anthony Fat Tony Salerno were convicted by a New York jury on charges of racketeering and extortion as the bosses of mafia crime families.
I think it's going to take a long time to replace the kind of network that these men put together.
France mourned George Best, president of the Renault car company, who was murdered outside his home in Paris. A leftist extremist group claimed responsibility. In the Philippines, a funeral procession for slain labor leader Rolando Olalia turned into a pro-left demonstration, 100,000 strong. Reports of the death of North Korean President Kim Il-sung turned out to have been greatly exaggerated. Kim surfaced the day after the reports to greet a visiting delegation from Mongolia. Mount Mihara on the tiny Japanese island of Oshima erupted after 12 years of quiescence, forcing thousands of people who live near the volcano to flee. Jerry Colonna died Friday. He was famous for his eyes and his mustache, and his voice, which could hold a single high note for 72 seconds. He was Bob Hope's sidekick for 25 years.
Yes, ma'am?
Everything all right, Mr. Turkle?
Oh, everything just fine, ma'am. Just fine.
Scatman Crothers, who performed for many years on television and in films, including One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and The Shining, died at his home in Van Nuys, California. Who's Scatman there? Crothers was 76.
Ain't nobody in there.
Please open that door. Oh, I'm sorry.